Good morning and bonjour. Welcome to TLE Radio. I'm your host, Hassan Labdouni. And today's topic is Little Havana and Little Haiti. As of last Friday, Little Havana was deemed a national treasure. On the other hand, Little Haiti is being gentrified over and over on top of over again. Now, Little Havana is a Miami neighborhood whose name supposedly conjures up memories and history. It has been the pedestal from which politicians from every tribe has gone to condemn Fidel Castro and the rest of the Cuban government while pandering to the Cuban-American vote. The former dictator died as of last November on the 25th, and the streets of Little Havana lit up in celebration. Presidential nominee after nominee has graced these doors of Versailles in Little Havana, establishing it as the non-official political epicenter of Cuban interests and relations. Since 1959, Cubans migrated to Little Havana in droves, fleeing a revolution in Cuba. It's no secret that Little Havana plays an integral part in weaving the fabric of the Miami society. So much so, the National Trust for Historic Preservation made a declaration Friday declaring Little Havana a national treasure. Little Havana is a symbol of the immigrant experience in America and a thriving, entirely unique place that thousands of people currently call home, said Stephanie Meeks, president and CEO of the nonprofit. The National Trust welcomes the urban resurgence that is breathing new life into cities across the country, but we also believe that growth should not come at the expense of the vibrant, historic neighborhoods like Little Havana that make cities unique and desirable places. Funny, though, how this person is not saying the same for Little Haiti. And Little Haiti is a big part of Miami's tapestry, having done the same, having been a vibrant neighborhood and continuously being a historic, vibrant neighborhood. In contrast, another Miami neighborhood, Little Haiti, fights a losing battle against an aggressive gentrification campaign. Since December of 2015, Little Haiti has seen an explosion in development of luxury apartments and entertainment complexes, effectively skyrocketing property values and squeezing out Caribbean working class residents. A recent study by Zillow expected Little Haiti to outgrow every other neighborhood from Homestead to Fort Lauderdale with an expected 4.6% increase in property value. Currently, there are two massive projects going on in the community less than 10 blocks from each other. The first project is by developer Tony Cho. He recently opened Magic City Studios and wants to expand it into a block-sized innovation district. The plan is to convert 45,000 square feet of space between 60th and 64th on Northeast 2nd Avenue into high-end restaurants, shops, and music venue. The second project is being spearheaded by SPV Realty, a New York-based company that owns the Design Place apartment complex on 50th Street. The Realty plans to raise the current property and install a sprawling complex boasting 2,798 apartments, 418 hotel rooms, 283,798 square feet of retail space, 97,103 square feet of office space, and more than 4,600 parking spaces. The complex is said to boast towers as tall as 28 stories. Now, although SPV is looking to take this property out from underneath a predominantly black neighborhood, the realty company itself has a track record of refusing to rent to black people, having been sued twice for discrimination. The Haitian American community in Miami-Dade County is the largest in the United States, reaching at least 100,000 residents by the year 2000. The county had become home to 41% of Florida's Haitian population, according to the Brookings Institution. No other county came close, with Kings County in New York City and Broward coming far behind. Now, regarded as the father of Little Haiti, Vitaire Giste is credited with inspiring the neighborhood's name after writing a letter to the Miami Herald arguing for the creation of a Little Port-au-Prince. Editors decided to title the article Little Haiti, and the name stuck. My father was interested in developing a parallel and equal treatment of migrants, and he used the Cuban experience to rally the Haitian community, said his son Carl Giste, a Pulitzer Prize-winning staff photographer for the Miami Herald. His efforts would take time to gain traction, however. Many Haitians came from a poor, rural background and, at the time, most were not involved in politics, in contrast to Cuban migrants, who quickly built a strong, well-connected network of lobbyists, politicians, and businesses that remains active to this day. Yet, Gis managed to organize Haitians in Miami, both politically and socially. He opened a store called Le Cousin, specializing in books and records, moving it from downtown to Little Haiti in 1978. He helped launch the first Haitian newspaper and was co-founder of the Haitian American Community Association of Dade. He helped Haitians learn English, get jobs, and apply for asylum. As his son Carl recalled, Viterre created a community-wide political infrastructure run partly out of their home. Now, though social and economic struggles persisted, the 90s saw the development of Haitian-owned businesses and a burst of new cultural pride and vitality. Botanicas, restaurants, and independent entrepreneurs brought a new Haitian style to the neighborhood. In 1990, the Little Haiti marketplace opened, modeled on the gingerbread architecture of Port-au-Prince. The first Chef Creole opened in 92, and the iconic Serge Toussaint started painting murals for businesses in the 90s, using a unique vernacular of color and utility. The neighborhood developed its now iconic blend of Haitian, Caribbean, and Miamian aesthetics. Increasingly, more attention was paid by outside Miamians and tourists. Little Haiti was redefined as a cultural asset by both Haitians and non-Haitians alike. In 2003, David C. Brown started doing tours of Little Haiti. The author of perhaps the only book on the history of the area, The Story of Little Haiti, featuring its pioneers, Brown works with the community's business owners and develops conversations between them and tour participants. The Little Haiti Cultural Center opened in 2009. Renamed the Little Haiti Cultural Complex, it brought a new cultural dimension to the area with exhibition and studio spaces, a theater, and a courtyard. Big Night in Little Haiti, a concert series and street festival, was started in 2011. Recently, a spate of emerging artists and galleries has led to a new artistic boom, with many of the new residents seeking to integrate with the neighborhood instead of obliterating Little Haiti's cultural identity. However, gentrification is endangering that move. The rise of these cultural venues and events has led to recent focus on Little Haiti as an arts destination, however, has left some longtime residents questioning the effects that this model of community development might have. So what are your thoughts? With all that Little Haiti has offered and provided to the city of Miami, in comparison to what Little Havana has done, is not Little Haiti a cultural landmark? Is not Little Haiti a cultural asset to what makes Miami, Miami? If Miami is diverse as it is, why is it that Little Haiti is being destroyed while Little Havana is being saved and a Chinatown is being built? Why then are we destroying Little Haiti and its cultural offerings and the services that it provides and the identity that it has for the Haitian people that have left the island of Haiti seeking refuge and asylum here in the Americas, the same way those that have left Cuba seeking asylum here in Miami have in Little Havana? This is America 2017. What are your thoughts? Drop your comments in the comment box. You can visit us on lyricalelitist.com. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/lyricalelitist. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Lyrical Elitist, as well as TLE TV. And make sure you follow us on TLE Radio. I'm your host, Hassan Labduni, praying that we Haitian people can put a stop to the destruction of the Haitian identity and not succumb to what they identify as Haitians, but instead provide our own identity and cultural offering.